All right, if you're turning your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 26. And once you've found Matthew 26 in your Bible, we're going to be reading starting about verse 17. But before we do, let's go ahead and pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that you've given us this blessed old book that is able to speak to our hearts and change our lives and lead us in the right direction. And so, Father, this morning as we open the scriptures, we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts and help us to understand the lesson you have for us today. Guide us and direct us into the truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you knew that you were going to die tomorrow, what would you want to do today? Would you want to go somewhere that you've never been before? Or maybe see something that you've never seen before? And who would you want to spend time with? Would you want to talk to some famous person, some celebrity, or maybe the president? Or maybe you want to go see an old friend that you haven't seen since your college days? Or perhaps you just like to spend a relaxing evening at home with your family. Well, this morning, I want us to spend a few minutes talking about how Jesus chose to spend the last few hours of his life here on earth. You see, Jesus realized that his life on earth was quickly coming to an end. But he did not choose to do something he had never done before. And he did not choose to talk to someone that he had never met. Instead, he chose to do something that he had done many times before. He chose to observe the Passover with his disciples. And if you have your Bibles open, let's begin reading in verse 17 here of Matthew 26. And we're going to read through verse 30. Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, "Verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" He said unto him, "Thou hast said." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives. There are four things that I want to point out to you this morning about the last Passover meal that Jesus shared with his disciples, and how we can apply those four things to the Lord's Supper that we are going to share with one another this morning at the end of the service. Now, the first thing that I want you to notice is the importance of being prepared. The importance of being prepared. Go back again. Just notice verses 17 through 19 again. It says, now, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, where? Where wilt thou that we prepare to eat for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go unto the city to such a man and saying to him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. It's good to be prepared. Whether you're talking about preparing for a final exam, or being prepared for company to come over, or being prepared to pay your taxes, it's just good to be prepared. Well, the Passover meal was observed at sunset on the 13th day of the month Nisan, which is our April. And Passover is one of the most important religious festivals of the year for the Jews. It reminds the Israelites of the fact that God delivered them from slavery in Egypt. And you remember the story. Moses went to Pharaoh and told him that God wanted him to let the Israelites leave. And Pharaoh refused. And as a result, God sent a series of plagues upon Egypt, 10 of them to be exact. The last of which was the death of their firstborn sons. And in order to keep their sons from being killed, God told the Israelites to do something very specific. They were to slaughter and eat a spotless lamb and place some of its blood on the door frames of their houses. And when the angel of death passed by, he would see the blood and pass over their home. And God made this a lasting ordinance, which was to be celebrated every year to remind the Israelites of how God had delivered them out of slavery in Egypt. And of course, it's still observed by Jewish people even today. But 4 days before the Passover meal, each family in Israel was required to pick a spotless lamb and separate it from the rest of the flock to prepare that lamb for sacrifice. Josephus, the great Jewish historian, tells us that approximately 500,000 Jews from all over the world typically attended the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread in Jerusalem each year. And Jewish law permitted two families to share a lamb. So roughly 250,000 animals were sacrificed in a 2-hour period of twilight on the evening of the Passover. And Josephus also said it required 600 priests sacrificing lambs at 4 per minute to complete the task. It was said that during that 2-hour period, the blood from those animals ran down like a stream from the eastern slope of the Temple Mount to the Kidron Valley. And this, as you may know, was a graphic foreshadowing of the awful price that Jesus would pay on the cross at Calvary to atone for your sins and my sins. The Apostle Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 5:7. He said, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And through this passage in Matthew 26, and also the other accounts from the other Gospels, we learn that several things had to be done before Jesus and his disciples would be able to observe the Passover meal. And the disciples knew this. So they asked Jesus where they were going to observe the feast so that they could go and begin making the necessary preparations. And Jesus told Peter and John to go into the city. And from one of the other Gospels, we learn that he told them to look for a man carrying a jar of water and follow him to the house he was headed for. Now, you might think to yourself, well, wouldn't that be difficult to find a particular man carrying a jug of water? Weren't a lot of people carrying water? And the answer to that question is no, because of the fact that it was, in those days, it was the woman's responsibility to draw the water from the well. And so to see a man carrying the water was different. It was unusual. And so they were to look for that man, follow him to that house, and then once they got there, they were to tell the owner of the house that Jesus wanted a large private room to observe the Passover with his disciples. And I would assume that the owner of this house was probably a follower of Jesus, and that Jesus himself had probably already made arrangements with him. And as I said, there was a lot of preparation that went into observing the Passover. The disciples would have to purchase unleavened bread, spices, fruit, and a lamb. The room where they were going to eat had to be cleaned thoroughly. If there's any trace of dirt or dust or even a crumb of bread on the floor, it had to be removed. And just as the disciples had to do several things to prepare for the Passover meal, we're to do several things to prepare to partake of the elements of the Lord's Supper. Now, for the next couple of months, as you know, we'll be using these little prepackaged juice and cracker combinations. But normally, on the Sunday of the Lord's Supper, one of the deacons, or maybe two of the deacons, are down in the kitchen preparing the bread for us and preparing the juice for us. And although we're not doing that now, that's what they would normally be doing before church on Sunday, the first Sunday of each month. But that's really not the preparation I'm talking about when I say there's some things we need to do to prepare for the Lord's Supper. The preparations I'm referring to are spiritual in nature. According to the Apostle Paul in his writings concerning the Lord's Supper, we are not to observe the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11:27, "Whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." And verse 29 of that chapter, he says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation unto himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So according to the Apostle Paul, we should not observe the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. In other words, we should make sure we're prepared to partake of the Lord's Supper before doing so. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I think there are a few things each of us need to do this morning in order to be prepared to partake of these sacred elements. Number one, we should make sure we're saved. Make sure that you've been born again, that you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you're trusting him alone for forgiveness and eternal life. Make sure that you have a personal relationship with him. Otherwise, the Lord's Supper really means nothing to you. And then secondly, as Christians, we should make sure that our hearts are free from any unconfessed sin. And then number three, we should make sure that our minds are focused on Jesus and what he did for us, and not on ourselves and the things of the world. Jesus should be the focus of the Lord's Supper. In the other Gospels and in the writings of Paul, we find that as Jesus shared the bread and the cup, he said, "This do in remembrance of me." And so Jesus should be the focus of the Lord's Supper. And so we see the importance of being prepared. And when it comes to the Lord's Supper, it's not just a matter of preparing the elements, it's a matter of preparing our hearts. Preparing our hearts. Now, the second thing I want you to see this morning, and what I just said kind of leads into it, and that is the importance of self-examination. I want you to continue here and look at verses 20 through 25 again. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12, and he did eat, and he said, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man that he had not been, if he had not been born. Then Judas betrayed him. The Judas which betrayed him answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. Jesus interrupted the meal with a startling statement. He said, One of you are going to betray me. Now, Jesus had mentioned to the disciples on several occasions that he would be delivered into the hands of his enemies. But he had not told them that one of them would be the one to actually betray him. And when Jesus dropped that bomb on them, the disciples couldn't believe it. They were deeply disturbed and saddened by what Jesus said, and they each examined their relationship and their commitment to Christ. Now, Jesus knew who would betray him, but he allowed the other disciples to examine their hearts and examine their motives, which is something that each of us should be doing this morning as we prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper. Again, Paul, in his writings on the subject, in 1 Corinthians 11:12, says, let a man examine himself, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So he calls for a self-examination. The disciples turned to Jesus and said, Is it I? And even Judas went through the motions of asking Jesus, even though he knew that he was the one that Jesus was referring to. See, the other disciples, they doubted, and they questioned, and they wondered. But Judas, on the other hand, knew, because he had already agreed to hand Jesus over to the chief priests for 30 pieces of silver. And I believe that when the Holy Spirit convicts a person of their sin, there's no doubting or debate. We know exactly what we did or didn't do and why he's convicting us of it. And we also know that God wants us to confess that sin to him and to renew our close relationship with him. That's why we read in the Bible in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sin, he promises to forgive them. And I believe Jesus was giving Judas one last chance to repent of the evil that was in his heart and mind. And when it became evident that he was not going to repent, Jesus told him to go and do what he had to do. And so where do you stand with the Lord this morning? Is the Holy Spirit convicting you of some sin in your life? And if he is, my advice is just deal with it. Confess it to him. Admit it. Be honest with him. Ask him to forgive you. Get this thing settled between you and God so you can put it behind you and experience God's wonderful forgiveness. Examine your heart this morning. And so we see the importance of being prepared and then the importance of self-examination. And then the next thing that comes up in this chapter is the establishment of a new covenant or a new testament. Look at verses 26 through 28. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Jesus again interrupted the Passover meal. And this time he interrupted it in order to transform it into the Lord's Supper. He took the bread and he told his disciples that the bread represented his body. You see, bread in your Bible is always a symbol of sustenance, something that sustains the life of the body. And by using this symbol, Jesus was saying that his body was going to be offered as a sacrifice so that we could live forever. Jesus was saying that his body was going to be broken like that piece of bread. His body would be battered, bruised, beaten, and nailed to an old rugged cross. And then he goes on and he takes the cup. And he said that it represented his blood, which was going to pay the price for all of our sin. In 1 John 1:7, we read, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." As we sang a few moments ago, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And the disciples were to take or receive the bread, which represented the body of Christ, and they were to drink the cup, which represented his blood, which would be shed for them and for us. And this represents the wonderful truth that we can have eternal life and forgiveness and be released from the penalty of sin by receiving Jesus Christ into our heart as our Lord and Savior. This is the new covenant, the new testament that we remember and we celebrate today as we partake of the Lord's Supper. And then finally, the last thing I want you to notice this morning is the joy of anticipation. Look again at 29 and 30. "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Jesus told his disciples that he personally would not observe this meal with them again until the kingdom of God was restored. And it implies that a day is coming when the kingdom will be restored. And those of us who are Christians will sit down and celebrate this sacred meal with the Lord Jesus himself. I personally believe that'll take place at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so as we observe this special service in a few minutes, we need to first of all look back at what Jesus did for us. How he allowed his body to be beaten and battered and bruised and then nailed to an old rugged cross in our place, taking the penalty and the punishment that we deserved so that we could be forgiven of our sins. And we need to look back and remember that precious blood that was shed to wash our sins away. So as we partake, we should first look back and remember what Jesus did. And then we should next look inward and examine our own hearts and lives and make sure that everything's okay between us and God. If the Spirit of God is convicting us of any particular sin, confess it now. Get it taken care of. Talk to God about it. Clear things up between you and him. So we should look back to what Jesus did as we partake. We should look inward, make sure that everything's okay with us and God, do a self-examination. And then we read here that we are to look forward to the day when Christ returns for his bride, for the church, to fellowship with his believers forever. That day is often on my mind lately as I see what goes on in the world in which we live. All I can think is, what a day that will be when we leave all the heartaches and all the trials, all the tribulations, all the troubles behind, and we go to be with Jesus. We're to be looking forward to that as we partake together of the Lord's Supper. I think again of the writings of the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 11:26. For he that we're to eat this, and as we eat this bread and drink this cup, he says, we do show the Lord's death till he come. Till he come. We look forward to the day he's arriving. In a sense, what we're doing is this. When we partake together of the Lord's Supper, we are in a sense repeating the words of the Apostle John, the final words of the Apostle John at the end of the book of Revelation, where he says, even so come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God and for the opportunity to look into it this morning. And we thank you for sending your Son, who died on the cross for our sins, who shed his blood so we could be cleansed, and who rose again so we could have everlasting life. And as our church family partakes together of the Lord's Supper in a few moments, help us to focus on that and be thankful for what you have done on our behalf. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.